It's Minneapolis at Aquatennial time. Greetings from the stage of the Minneapolis Municipal Auditorium, and welcome to 120 minutes of star-studded entertainment. It's the annual WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show, bringing to the Northwest the brightest names in show business, plus a stage full of your favorite WCCO personalities. This first half hour is brought to you with the good wishes of the milk distributors of Minneapolis, the folks who bring fresh, whole milk to your door or store. And here to launch the WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show for the eighth consecutive year is the most famous voice in the Northwest, Mr. Northwest himself, Cedric Adams.
Thank you and good evening. Well, your eighth annual WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show is just about to get underway. Looking back over the 7 years that we've been holding this show, we can't help remembering some of the great names who have joined us in our annual salute to the great summer festival, the Minneapolis Aquatennial. Arthur Godfrey, if you remember, was our leadoff man. Then came Bob Hope, Eddie Cantor, Ken Murray, Victor Borga, Georgie Jessel, Dennis Morgan, Gary Moore, almost all of the little Godfreys, including Frank Parker, Marion Marlowe, Jeanette Davis. Do you remember her in the parade the day it rained? Julius LaRosa, the McGuire sisters, Luann Sims, the Cordettes. Then we had the beautiful Arlene Dahl, Alban Barkley, the Veep, Edgar Bergen and his two buddies, Charlie McCarthy and Mortimer Snerd. Sounds like the who's who of show business, doesn't it? Well, once again, this evening, we're going to add more names to that list of top personalities. Each year, the Choralaires, under the direction of Bob Mansky, have opened our show, and tonight they do it once again. The Minneapolis Choralaires sing Liza.
Shine and shine, free and shake with all our sunshine.
Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. I'd like to say just exactly 100 words about milk now, and then we'll get on with the show. For a long time, I've been telling you about the reasons why folks of all ages need fresh, whole milk. How much enjoyment there is in fresh, whole milk as a part of your daily diet. Doctors and nutritionists agree that milk should be an indispensable part of our daily intake. Not just for youngsters, but for you grown-ups as well. And now that hot weather is here, milk has an added advantage. Unlike most summertime beverages, milk contains no heat-producing sugar. It cools you, it refreshes you even on the hottest days. So when the temperature rises, pour yourself a big glass of fresh, whole milk. Cool and cooling it is. Try it and see. And now comes our parade of stars. It's a genuine personal pleasure for me to introduce our first headliner tonight. He's one of the smartest businessmen in show business. He owns a roller skating rink, a bowling alley, a number of warehouses in Los Angeles and San Francisco. He has just built his own theater out in Hollywood. His People Are Funny radio show topped in rating the Jack Benny show. He's the father of six, owns 25% of Groucho Marx, has a way with women from 8 to 80, and is recognized perhaps as one of the glibbest guys on the air. And here he is, the man who has been in more women's purses than any man in history. The tall, blonde, genial, and oh so rich Arthur Gordon Linkletter.
Oh, boy, what an introduction. I can just see the income tax people lining up outside the theater right now. And furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, Cedric Adams must have information that I don't know about. Because when I left home yesterday, I had five children. Of course, I haven't phoned home in an hour. Cedric and I are old friends. We've been to the bake-offs together in New York. We've appeared on shows in the Northwest together. And I'm delighted to come back to this very hospitable and wonderful city where I worked in 1929 as an electric arc welder at one place and as an usher in the Century Theater, and where I hung up meat in the offal cooler in South St. Paul for the Armor Company at 42.5 cents an hour. When I think of that last job, those are some of the hams I missed. When I come back, naturally, with this kind of a background, I come into Minneapolis with mixed emotions. Of course, a good definition of mixed emotions is when you see your mother-in-law driving off a cliff in your new Cadillac. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great thrill to look out over this tremendous auditorium and see an audience like this. I mean an audience that paid to get in. Out in Hollywood, my audiences are all tourists. They know it's free. They will go in no matter what you're doing. They see a line forming, they go over and they get in it. They don't know where they're going or what's happening. All they know that there are seats. It's air conditioned and they're going to give away something. This audience, I might add, after 21 years of looking over audiences, since I started facing audiences longer than that. My father was a minister, and my first appearance in public was taking up the collection. And even to this day, when I look out over an audience, I'm estimating the take. I don't know how well we do over here with the Presbyterians. The Methodists over here look a little scrawny tonight, but the Holy Rollers, I can depend on them right here in the middle. Eventually, during this evening's performance, which lasts for 2 hours, we are going to have stars from every branch of show business. We're also going to have a few people are funny stunts. And I'm going to give away some lovely prizes. The grand prize tonight happens to be a one-month all-paid vacation trip to Indochina. Lovely, lovely thing. Wow, they turned the lights on. Look at the people. Well, I got some new ideas for People Are Funny. I'm just looking out over the audience here. And I'm going to ask for some volunteers, people who'd like to come up and be on the show during the next 2 hours in several very simple, easy stunts. Now remember, before you volunteer, that it's all very easy. You do not have to know anything. It is not a quiz show. We just want the use of your bodies for about a half an hour. First of all, I'd like to have a couple of married women. One, I'd like to have a married woman who is a fan of Bob DeHaven, the fine WCCO personality. We have any married women who like his shows? Let's see some hands of some married women who would get a kick out of being on the show. You just come up here. I ask you who you are. If you know, you get the Cadillac. Okay, ladies, let's see some hands. Let's have a little fun here. Let's see the hands of a lady. Right back there in the middle section. Would that lady stand up, please, so I can see her, the one with the clean hand? The one with the red dress. Are you a Bob DeHaven fan? Would you come up, please? Now I'd like to have a lady who is a Cedric Adams fan. Some married lady who really thinks Cedric is wonderful. Let's see your hands. This lady right down here in the black dress. Would you come up, please? Now I need a good talker, a man who thinks he's a pretty good talker. Let's see some hands. How about the fellow under the balcony way over there? Would you stand up? Let me see you. Yes, that's a man. Would you come up? That fellow right over there. Now I need a man who is from St. Paul. Do we have a man from St. Paul? Right down here, Irv, the man in the 10th row. Would you come up, please? Now I need a man who is a citizen of Minneapolis. Man is a citizen of Minneapolis. The fellow there with the high forehead. Would you come up, please? Come on up. The fellow with the glare. That's fine. Now we have our people, and we're about ready to go. And I think we'll start with what I always do on this People Are Funny show, where I send somebody outside to try to do some cultural, educational thing, like tunneling under the bank or setting fire to the library. Where is the man who's a good talker? Would you have him come right up here, please? Run him right up the stage. That's it, fine. Come on across here and I'll find out who you are. How do you do?
How do you do, Art?
What is your name?
Ed Flannery.
And Ed, what business are you in?
Well, I'm a salesman for Charles Pfizer in the Animal Health Division.
And you're a married man?
Yes, sir.
Been living in Minneapolis for long?
About 6 years now, Art.
Where'd you come from?
Chicago.
Chicago. Now, what's your first name?
Ed.
Ed. Ed, do you think that a customer who is a 10-cent type customer should get the same kind of courteous treatment from a store, if he goes into a store, as a guy who spends $10?
Well, that depends on how often he gets back there, I'd say.
Well, I mean, if he goes in, shouldn't a clerk be equally courteous to everybody?
Well, I like to get a little more courtesy when I spend $10 than when I spend 10 cents.
Mm-hmm. But even if you spend a dime, you want to be treated well.
Well, that's right, Art, certainly.
Well, that's what we want to find out tonight. We want to find out if here in the Northwest, people who don't spend much money are just as well received as people who spend a lot. So we're going to send you out of the auditorium here tonight. And just parked outside the entrance is a broken-down 1927 Chevrolet.
No Cadillac?
You're going to get in it and drive to any service station you want in town around here and go in and buy a dime's worth of gas. Now, you'll get the dime. Now, you think you'll get it all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, wait till you hear the rest of it, because after he puts in the gas, we have a list, right here, you take it, of 20 things we want you to do. Read off some of them. Ask him to...
would you please check the tire pressure and then check the water and check the oil and wash the windows? And if you have time, would you dust the car and test the battery and dust the seats and sweep the floor mats? Adjust the windshield wiper, wash steering wheel, clean ashtrays, oil door handle, wash tail light, adjust carburetor, adjust seat, wash headlights.
That's enough. There are plenty of them there. Now, this is on a dime's worth of gas. Now, this is the next topper. After he has done a number of these things, you tell him that the dime for the gas is in an old pair of pants in the back of the car, and would he do you the favor of getting the dime out of the pants? Now, after you have done this, if he gets a dime, you invite him back to the auditorium with you. See if he can get off. And what he doesn't know is that if this man does at least 8 of these services with a smile, we're going to give him a wonderful gift when he gets back here. And you, if you get him to do 8 things with a smile, will get a beautiful Amana home freezer for your home.
Boy, I can use that.
Now, Irv Atkins, will you take this man out to the car and be sure to bring it back? It cost us $46.95.
You want a deposit?
Oh, have you got any money with you? We'll take the money. We want it just that you have the dime. No money. Say goodbye to him, audience. There he goes. Ladies and gentlemen, this should be a very interesting evening. There are a couple of things I neglected to tell him. First of all, about that dime, it's not really a dime. It's a $100 bill. And he'll have to make change, $99.90. Secondly, the $100 bill is in the pants, all right, in the back of the car. But the pants are buried under 180 pounds of old tires, chains, jacks. And the third thing I didn't tell him, we have 5 assistants in 5 automobiles lined up behind him who will be honking for service during the entire time. If this service station attendant comes through all of this with flying colors, he's entitled to a big prize. Zsa Zsa Gabor. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to demonstrate how broad-minded and how big-hearted Minnesota officials really are. To think that Minnesota officials of the Aquatennial have invited here to be one of the stars a man from Wisconsin, Mr. Jack Carson. Come on out, Jack.
Thank you very much, Art. I would like to say that after I heard your introduction by Cedric Adams, I feel a little embarrassed.
Really?
Yes, because I only have 2 kids, and the only thing I own is my home.
All of it?
I am at a bowling alley for 3 years.
You haven't been in mine.
It's not unusual for me to be here in Minneapolis because some years ago, I won't tell you how many, I went to college very close to here in Northfield, Minnesota, to Carleton College.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it's less unusual for you to be here in Minneapolis because one of your biggest sponsors is here.
That's right, Jack. They're fine people.
Yeah. How you doing with General Mills?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to have to do better with Pillsbury if this is the effect I'm giving you. Jack, are you really from Wisconsin?
Well, I was raised in Milwaukee. Listen. Oh, from Milwaukee, eh?
Mm-hmm. Probably Dennis Morgan.
I want to tell you that Milwaukee's a wonderful town, but if I did have a second hometown in the Middle West, I couldn't think of any better place to have it in than Minneapolis. I mean that.
Mm-hmm. You are from where originally, Jack?
Well, that's a strange coincidence because I heard your radio program the day before yesterday, and you mentioned that you were born in Canada.
That's right.
What was the name of the town? I didn't quite catch that.
Moose Jaw, Canada.
Could I have that again, please?
Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Moose Jaw.
Yes. Haven't you ever heard of it?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was born in Canada, too.
Were you?
I was born just outside of Winnipeg in Carmen, Manitoba.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't live there very long. We moved to a town in Saskatchewan.
Not?
Moose Jaw, yes.
Well, you were there before I was, and that explains why they called it Moose Jaw. One look at you.
Well, Art, if you'd been there first, I know what they would have called it.
What?
Loose Jaw. It is a great treat to be back here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, near Northfield. And I've seen a great many friends that I made years ago when I was going to Carleton. I'd like to take this opportunity, if I may, to say hello to all of them I don't get a chance to see. Speaking of my friends, I have one very, very close friend here in Minneapolis who's a friend of yours. He and I worked together many years ago in Milwaukee, and he's now at WCCO here in Minneapolis, Bob DeHaven. Let's bring him on, shall we? Bob?
Yes, Jack?
It's awfully nice to be on the stage again with you. It's nice to have be around old friends, you know?
It certainly is, and we can fill it, even this one we have right here tonight, Jack, old man.
This is a wonderful crowd.
I want to reminisce with you. You went to Carleton, didn't you, for about 3 years?
That's right, yes, that's right.
Weren't you a football man? You should have been. You're big enough to be a
football man. No, I didn't play football.
You didn't play football at your age and size?
No, I didn't play football because of, well, on account of religious reasons.
Didn't play football at Carleton because of religious reasons.
Uh-huh.
What were they?
I'm a sincere coward.
Wasn't Ozzie Cowles the football coach when you were down there, kid?
Well, Ozzie Cowles met me at the plane this morning, 7 o'clock, as a matter of fact. The thing that bothers me, Ozzie Cowles was at Carleton when I was there.
That's right.
And then some years have passed, and he's now at the University of Minnesota.
That's right. He's here at Minnesota now.
I think that bothers me. When is he going to graduate? I mean, it didn't take me that long.
No, he's having trouble with algebra, to tell the truth.
Well, Bob, it's great being back on the radio together. Remember at WTMJ in Milwaukee when we were both working there?
Oh, those good old days down there in
the
early
days
of radio.
They weren't so long ago.
Well, after all, I remember when you played an earring in the A&P Gypsies.
Yes. You burnt the cork for the first Amos and Andy show.
That's right. And you reported a big news event. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes, the assassination of McKinley for Cedric Adams.
Yes, he... That was your big moment, boy.
Yeah, Cedric Adams, I noticed he announced all these big names at the beginning of the show, and Dennis Morgan was in that.
That's right.
Dennis has been on this show, is that right?
Dennis has been in front of this very microphone, in front of this very audience, in front of that very spotlight. It is a spotlight. There's not a hole in the roof, is he?
No, that's a spotlight.
That's a spotlight. Now, Dennis, in the good old days, got acquainted with you down there, got acquainted with me. Then you went to Warner Brothers and you made a picture. It was a great thing. And you were welcome back to the town of Milwaukee. What was the name of that picture?
What up? Two Guys from Milwaukee.
That's right. It was Two Guys from Milwaukee.
Of course, that's all changed now.
What is it now?
Nine Guys from Milwaukee.
Ah.
The Milwaukee Braves.
That's it, yeah. We hope to have...
That's a great thing, big league ball. I got it walking out. It's a tremendous attendance, people. It's a great thing for the town, a great civic pride thing.
We hope to get it right here in the Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Well, you should have it up here, believe me. I think
that... Go ahead if you want to clap. Well, I'll tell you, Jack, we aren't quite ready for it. We need one guy.
Yeah. One guy with $8 million, yeah.
Yes, that's right. That's the new ratio.
Well, I hope you get him. You know, that big league ball is a wonderful thing.
Jack, down there in Milwaukee, do you remember when October 30th or 31st came around? With
you know, we don't have big league ball on the coast, but we have much the same thing.
What have you got on the coast?
In fact, we got something better.
What's that?
We have Mrs. Joe DiMaggio.
I remember the calendar.
Say, Bob, you were going to talk about Halloween. Do you remember that Halloween? Oh, it was a... I won't say how long ago it was. Some years ago. Remember what we did?
You and I?
Yeah.
Well, sure, I remember it, but you can't tell it here, Jack.
Well, what's the matter with it? There's nothing wrong with it.
No, this is...
I'll tell him. This is all right. This is cute. You see, we lived on a street called Prospect Avenue, Milwaukee. We had a big house out in front, you see? And a little house...
No. Don't tell that story here. You're a friend of mine, and these
don't
people
don't
stop
me there.
Well, start over. Maybe I can think of something else.
We had a big house out in front... And a little house out and back, you see? And you know what we did for Halloween?
Don't tell that, Jack. Don't tell that.
We tipped over the big house out in front.
Twice a week on television, a young lady serves me a glass of fresh whole milk. And that happens at 6 o'clock, so we call that glass of fresh whole milk an Adam's appetizer. We hope by now that you've developed this before-your-meal habit of drinking a glass of milk. It takes away those hunger pangs without taking away your appetite. And it also does away with that smoked-out feeling that you get about that time of night. And it lets you enjoy the taste of your foods on your dinner table. Milk, we'd like to remind you, is the perfect beverage before your meals, with your meals, in between your meals. And not for just the youngsters, but for you grown-ups as well. Doctors say that you never outgrow your need for milk, fresh, whole milk. 3 glasses a day, believe me, will do you a world of good. So make that your minimum. Milk is the finest summertime beverage there is, cool and cooling, and just a few pennies a glass. This summer and all year round, try that Adam's appetizer before every meal. Fresh, whole milk. You'll enjoy it. And now back to Mr. A.G. Linkletter.
Thank you, Cedric. Ladies and gentlemen, there is going to be a minimum of official speeches, but we do want you to meet and hear from 2 of the top men at the Aquatennial. I should like to present at this time the president of the Aquatennial Association, Mr. Harold Anderson.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to address this to Art. This is our 15th birthday and your 42nd, and I hope you're enjoying both of them and that you'll return each year hereafter. This is your birthday falls during Aquatennial, and you should be back each year. We hope you're having a good time.
Thank you very much, Harold. That's very nice. It was one of the nicest and the biggest birthday parties I ever had. 100,000 people turned out. And by the way, if any of you who brought presents for me tonight are too bashful to bring them up, leave them with the ushers, please. Isn't that silly? I'd like to have you meet the Commodore of the 1954 Aquatennial, Leonard Larson. Leonard?
Art, it's a pleasure to be here. Art, do you mind if I take this opportunity to thank WCCO for helping us to make this Aquatennial one of the best? To the people out in the audience, we're going to be through in 10 days. The screeching of motorcycles going around corners. The girls will be going home. Everything will be back to normal, but personally, I don't want to be normal again. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Two good Irish names, Anderson and Larson. Well, you two men are quite handsome, but I understand there's an official here at the Aquatennial who is a good deal more attractive than both of you, almost put together. And I'd like to bring her out now with her official escort, the Queen of the Lakes, Betty Tronis, ladies and gentlemen. Just a minute, Betty. What's the idea coming out on Jack Carson's arm? Are you the official escort?
Well, I haven't been playing tiddlywinks backstage.
For goodness sakes. What kind of fellas do you like, Betty? What nationality?
Wait a minute. Let her choose.
Oh.
I was doing all right till you started butting in.
All right.
You said what nationality? What nationality of men do you like?
Scandinavians.
All right, she likes Scandinavians. That's logical, being up here in Minneapolis. What nationality are you?
I'm Irish. What are you laughing at, wise guy? What are you?
Yaskal Hashnoots.
Wait a minute. Don't jump at that bait, Betty. I happen to know that this big Mick is German-Irish.
Yeah, well, that's right. You can't blame me for trying, huh?
No.
Well, let's see. Let's
try something else.
All right, wait a minute. You're a radio and television star, huh?
Yeah.
And I'm in a movie picture business.
Yeah, you're in the picture business.
See, all right, let's put it this way.
All right, Betty?
Betty, mm-hmm. Would you like to have a guy in the picture business, or would you rather have a flower salesman?
Wait a minute, Betty. What a dirty question. Just a minute. Before you grab him, let me ask you this question, Betty. Would you rather have your picture taken or eat?
Come on, boys. I like both of you.
Well, that's swell, huh?
Fine. What are you going to do for us?
Well, Art, I'm going to commission you honorary Commodore in the fleet of the world's greatest summer festival, the Minneapolis Aquatennial.
Well, thank you. I'm a Commodore,
Just
Jack.
A minute. What happens to me?
You went down with all hands.
When I get a snorkel up, what happens?
You got something for him, Betty?
Well, Jack, you're going to be the court jester.
I am.
Yes, you are, of the Minneapolis Aquatennial.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now I want
Thank
you to
you
perform for my royal subjects.
Well, oh, that's very nice, but she's only a queen for one more week. On Friday, there's a new queen to be appointed, Jack.
That's right.
You mean this is only a week?
Yes, she's through in a week.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you, Art, you wait out the week, see?
Yeah.
This one looks good enough for me.
Goodbye, Jack. Goodbye, Betty. And now, ladies and gentlemen, having been appointed an official and honorary commodore, it is my duty to command to come out here on the stage one of the most charming and lovable young singing stars we have in the country today. She's just been recently starred at Las Vegas. She has been in motion pictures. You've heard her with Jimmy Dorsey. You've heard her on records. And now it's my pleasure to bring to the spotlight Miss Helen O'Connell. Helen.
In the still of the night, as I gaze from my window at the moon in its flight, my thoughts all stray to you. In the still of the night, while the world is in slumber, the times without number, darling, when I say to you, do you love me as I love you? Or will this dream of mine fade out of sight like the moon growing dim on the rim of the hill in the chill?
So very much. I want you to know that I am really thrilled to be here to sing for you. I'm so proud that you asked me, being a member of CBS this time on the Tennessee Ernie Show. I guess that's one reason I was included anyway. It's such a thrilling thing with all these people here in this wonderful Aquatennial that I want to thank you for having me here. I'd like to do a very beautiful ballad. In fact, it's such a pretty one that it was the Academy Award-winning tune of this past year, My Secret Love. Once I had a secret love that lived within the heart of me. All too soon, my secret love became impatient to be free. So I told friendly star the way that dreamers often do. just how wonderful you are and why I'm so in love with you. I shout it from the highest hill. Golden daffodils. At last, my heart's an open door, and my secret love's no secret anymore. My secret love's no secret anymore. This
first portion of the 1954 WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show has been brought to you by the milk distributors of Minneapolis who deliver fresh whole milk to your door or store. We'll be back with part two in just a moment on WCCO St. Paul in Minneapolis. Due to the special Aquatennial Radio program, Herb Shriner's Two for the Money program, sponsored by Old Gold Cigarettes, was not heard. Be sure to listen next Saturday night at 8.
The WCCO Radio Aquatennial Show continues from the stage of the Minneapolis Auditorium. The next 30 minutes are presented by Foreman Ford & Company, one of the leading business firms in the paint and glass field for over 70 years. And here is your host for this second half hour, the man who proves people are funny, Art Linkletter.
With all this talk about people being funny, I must mention that one of my favorite efforts on the air, the one I enjoy perhaps more than any other, is the house party where I talk to the little kids. Do you ever hear that show around here with the little ones? Well, the reason why it's so much fun to talk to the little kids under 10 is that they tell you the truth. I dare say that my program has been responsible for more families moving away and starting all over again than any other program in history. A little four-year-old boy will walk up to the microphone. I say, "What does your daddy do?" He says, "I don't know. I think he steals." One little boy said, "My father's a policeman." I said, "Gee, what an exciting job." He says, "Yeah, he's arresting robbers all the time." I said, "Doesn't your mother worry about him?" She says, "No, mother likes it. Dad's always bringing home jewelry and rings and stuff." One little boy a couple of weeks ago, I said, "What does your father do?" He says, "He works down in Los Angeles at the Statler Hotel." I said, "What kind of a job's he got?" He says, "He's in charge of horse racing." "Well," I said, "let's get off this subject." I said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" He says, "A bookkeeper like my father." The little girls are just as bad. Had a little girl on the other day, and I said, "What do you want to talk about?" She says, "I don't know, but my mother told me something not to tell you." And I said, "What did your mother tell you not to tell me?" Little girl smiled and said, "She told me not to announce that she's pregnant." Well, I said, "Well, honey, that is perfectly all right. What's wrong with that?" Little girl smiled and said, "She ain't." And then there was the little girl. I said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" She says, "I want to be a missionary and take the word of God to people who have never heard of him." I said, "That's very sweet. And where do you want to be sent by your church?" She said, "San Francisco." Long time ago, I had a little boy on the show. He says, I'm from St. Paul. I said, why'd you come out to California? He says, we wanted to see if we liked it. I said, how long you been here? He says, a year. I said, how do you like it? He says, we're moving back Wednesday. Well, everybody likes their own section, and that's wonderful. As a matter of fact, I get a lot of practice talking to kids right in my own home, where I have five little links. Not six, Cedric. Five. I phoned home in the last 10 minutes. What happened was my wife traded in our car. I'd like to have you meet one of my little link letters. Here he is, my little boy. Come on out, little boy. This is my little boy, Jack. This is my 16-year-old boy, 6'2", a senior at Beverly Hills High School. Jack, you go to an interesting school out there where all the movie stars' kids attend in Beverly Hills. Ever hear anything interesting?
Well, a couple of my chums in physics class were talking, and one said to the other, I hear you have a new father. The second said, yeah, and the first one says, oh, you'll love him. We had him last year.
Of course, all the silly talk doesn't go on around the playground. We have a little girl, 5, Diane. She came home from school the other day. It was her first day at kindergarten. Oh, was she excited. What did she say, Jack?
Oh, yeah, she came running into the dining room table real excited, and she said, Jack, I learned to write. I says, oh, what did you write? And she says, I don't know, I can't read.
That's logical, logical. But our biggest problem's with our 14-year-old girl, wouldn't you say so, Dawn?
Oh, yes.
She's at the awkward age now, you know, and she wanted to go out on a date and wear an off-the-shoulder formal. Well, we had a big family argument about whether she should wear it or whether she shouldn't. Finally, Jack came up with a solution. What'd you say, Jack?
I said, put it on her. If it stays up, she's old enough.
Jack, I want to ask you a couple of personal questions. People are always asking. For instance, do I spank you or do I not spank you?
Not anymore.
What do you mean, not anymore?
Well, I won the last three falls.
That is true, that is true. Now, how about the allowance? How much do you think a boy your age should get a week?
About $20.
And how much do you get?
Five. By the way, could you let me have $5 for next week?
You mean in advance?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, just give me 2.5.
Oh, 2.5.
Yeah.
There you are.
Now, you owe me 2.5 out of the 5, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I owe you 2.5.
Yeah.
You owe me 2.5, I owe you 2.5.
Yeah.
We're even.
That's the kids. Ladies and gentlemen, I get a kick out of having him come along and break into show business with me and try out little jokes, and I appreciate your warm reception of the young man. Right now, I'd like to have you give an equally warm reception to a young man. Thank you. A young man who is one of your own Northwestern stars, because you don't have to come to Hollywood or New York to get good entertainment, because there's plenty of it right around here, and this young man proves it. Arthur Godfrey had him on his show, and he's made a big hit all over the Northwest as a musician, band leader, and a singer. Fine young baritone voice singing for you tonight, Tony Grisey, singing Three Coins in a Fountain. Tony.
Three coins in the fountain, each one seeking happiness, thrown by three hopeful lovers, which one will the fountain bless? Three hearts in the fountain, each one longing for its hope. There they are in the fountain, somewhere in the heart of Rome. Which Which one will the fountain bless? Which one will the fountain bless? Three coins in the fountain, through the ripples how they shine. Just one wish will be granted. One heart will wear a valentine. Make it mine, make it mine, make it mine. Which one will the fountain bless? Which one will the fountain bless? Three coins in the fountain, through the ripples how they shine. Just one wish will be granted. One heart will wear a valentine. Make it mine, make it mine, make it
Now, may I say 163 words about paint? These are getting longer. If you're faced with the problem of painting your house this year, I'd like to show you how you can save almost half the cost with the new Miracle Paint perfected by Foreman Ford. It's the new Grade 1 one-coat house paint, the only one-coat house paint manufactured to meet the top quality standards for classification as Grade 1. Now, for the very first time, you can be sure of better-looking, longer-lasting paint protection for your home with Grade 1 One Coat. Now, for the first time, you can safely save on paint and labor. Cut costs almost in half over two-coat work with this new Miracle Paint. Grade 1 One Coat by Foreman Ford. Whether you're doing your own work or hiring a painter, insist on Foreman Ford Grade 1 One Coat House Paint, and save up to half the cost of painting your home. And now, once again, back to your master of merriment, Mr. Art Linkletter. Arthur?
Thank you, Cedric. I'm going to do a couple of little quick, easy, people are funny stunts for you. We had a housewife who said she was a fan of Cedric Adams, as so many of you are, and deservedly so. Where is the lady? I haven't met her yet to talk to, so I don't know who she is. Well, how do you do, madam? You're very brave to come up here. Happy birthday to you. Oh, no, it's not your birthday.
No, it's not my birthday.
What is your name?
Mrs. Janine Frank.
Miss Frank, where do you live in town?
It's Richfield, 7039 Chicago.
Oh, and what does your husband do?
He works at Minnesota Bearing Company.
Uh-huh. Now, you're a good housewife, aren't you?
I hope so.
I mean, you cook and you sew and so forth.
Yes, I do.
Well, for instance, have you ever sewed a patch on your husband's pants?
No, I'm afraid not.
You haven't.
I seldom even get time for buttons.
But doesn't it kind of intrigue you, the challenge of an emergency sometime when you might have to do this?
Yes.
Is your husband here tonight?
No, he isn't. He's babysitting.
Oh, your husband's not here tonight. Oh, my gosh, and I was going to tell you what we do. Where is Cedric Adams? Cedric! Out, please. Do you know Mrs. Franks? She's one of your fans. And you'd do anything for one of your fans, wouldn't you?
I would, indeed.
All right, stand by, Cedric. Irvin, chair, please. Mr. Irvin Atkins, my assistant from Hollywood and son by an earlier marriage. Come out, Irvin. Mrs. Franks, would you sit down, please? Be comfortable. Cedric, do you remember many years ago when your mother took you across her knee?
I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Right around here, Mrs. Franks, your knee, please, right across. Take your coat. There's the patch. There's the patch, ladies and gentlemen. And, here's a specially sharpened needle. Now, Mrs. Franks, this is a patch about 12 inches square, and the world's record is 36 seconds. We're going to have you, this is your target for tonight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we feel that this is an easy job. This woman could probably do this job with her eyes shut, so we'll blindfold her. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Cedric Adams has nothing to do during this stunt, so I will chat with him to keep his mind on what's going on behind his back. When I give the signal, Mrs. Franks, you start stitching. Nice, big, long, deep stitches. And I'll just chat with you, Cedric. Ready? Go. Where were you born, Cedric?
In Adrian, Minnesota.
Uh-huh. And do you have any brothers and sisters?
No, I'm an only child.
What's the latest news report today? How did you happen to get into radio?
Oh, that's a very long story.
Were you in college here?
Yes, went to the University of Minnesota.
What year did you graduate from the University of Minnesota?
Back in 1920.
Time's up! Time's up! Time's up! Stand up, Cedric. Let's see how you did. That's a mighty fine job. A mighty fine job. Wait, Cedric. We have two prizes for Cedric Adams, a year's supply of vulcanizing patches. And for you, Mrs. Franks, we want you to take home one of those year-round Amana room air conditioners with the wall of silence, yours from us. Thank you very much. Cedric, you're a good sport. Oh, I've wanted to do this to Cedric for years. He'll do his broadcast tomorrow noon standing up, ladies and gentlemen. I would like now to introduce two very fine gentlemen who represent the citizens of the Twin Cities, Mayor Hoyer of Minneapolis and Mayor Dillon of St. Paul. Come on this side of me, please. Mayor Dillon. Mayor Dillon, how's everything in St. Paul?
Very fine, very fine.
How many people live within the confines of your city approximately?
Well, in estimated census 1954, it'd be about 322,000.
Ah, that's fine. Mr. Hoyer, Mayor Hoyer, how many people live in Minneapolis?
About 535,000.
Uh-huh, it's a little bit bigger. Do you think Minneapolis is any better?
No, just numerical strength is not necessarily a test of quality.
Thank you. Mere
quantity here.
In other words, you say that quality is the important thing. All right. We will find out how much quality the two towns have then instead of the quantity. And you two men represent the cream of the crop, the representative citizens, so we will find out where the quality lies. And to make it more interesting, I have asked a St. Paul resident and a Minneapolis resident to come up on the show and be our guests. Would you come out, please, gentlemen? The first young man, he's a kid about 20?
21.
21. What's your name?
Jay Dickinson.
What?
Jay Dickinson.
What do you do, Jay?
I'm assistant golf pro.
Assistant golf pro. And yes, you live where?
In St. Paul, sir.
In St. Paul. You stand over here then with Mayor Dillon. And you, sir, your name?
Mr. Lee.
What do you do, Mr. Lee?
I'm with the Minneapolis Plastic Tile Company.
You're plastered in Minneapolis?
Plastic tile.
Oh, you are the plastic tile. Would you come over here and stand on the other side of the mayor? On the outside, gentlemen. The mayors are next to me.
You men are both proud of your cities, are you not?
Yes, sir.
And you would certainly entrust your mayor with your future and your life if necessary?
Oh, yes.
Of course. Now, that's the Minneapolis man. The other was the St. Paul man. Well, tonight, you two are going to be at the mercy of your own mayors. Because we are going to have a quiz. And every time the mayor of your town misses a question, you lose a piece of clothing. And I have 74 questions. Boys, would you shut the doors? There's a little cross draft here on the stage. All right. Mayor Dillon of St. Paul, the first question, who was called the father of our country?
George Washington.
George, that is exactly right. Mayor Hoyer, why does a faucet drip?
Because it's leaking.
No, because it can't go... We'll take the shirt off, please, over there. There goes the shirt of the Minneapolis man. Huh? It's got a nice clean undershirt on. Now, Mayor Dillon of St. Paul, who is the governor of Minnesota?
Governor Anderson.
Governor Anderson. Mayor Hoyer, what is black and white and red all over? You remember the old...
Well, that's colors.
No, sir. Black and white and red all over is an embarrassed zebra. Take off the undershirt. Oh, and he's a nice fat one. He's a plump one, isn't he? All right. Now, Mayor Dillon of St. Paul. Apparently, Minneapolis is losing. You're down to your shoes and your pants. All right, and the St. Paul man here has got all of his clothes on. Mayor Dillon, what is the worst weather for rats and mice? I'm sorry, time's up. It's when it's raining cats and dogs. Take the coat off, please. Mayor Boyer of Minneapolis, who is the President of the United States?
Eisenhower.
Say, you've come through at last. I knew I could count on you. They're shaking hands. All right. Mayor Dillon of St. Paul, when does a dog wear the most clothes?
In the wintertime.
I'm sorry, in the summer. In the winter, he wears a coat. In the summer, he wears coat and pants. Off with the shirt. Well, they look even here, don't they, huh? Now, the next question. Mayor Dillon of St. Paul, what... Huh?
You just asked me one, though.
Yeah, well, I'll switch. Where are we here? Oh. Mayor Hoyer, what is 8 times 6?
48.
Gee, you almost missed. Oh, boy. Oh, that was a close one. Mayor Dillon of St. Paul, why does a stork stand on one leg?
Because it's tired.
If he lifts both, he falls down. Take the shoes off. There goes the man's shoes. Mayor Hoyer, why does a hen lay eggs?
Because she has nothing else to lay.
No. That is a pretty sneaky answer. Not yet. He's already being congratulated. The answer is she lays eggs because if she dropped them, they'd break. Take off your shoes there. You don't get away that easy. Gentlemen, we now come to what is known as the pants question. This is a two-part question. Each mayor gets one part, and if they both miss, off comes the pants. Your honors, listen carefully. Two old maids are in the bleachers at a baseball game. Between them is an empty bottle of whiskey. What inning is it, and who's on base? Mayor Dilling, do you know what inning it is?
It must be the last of the ninth if the bottle's empty.
No, if the bottle's empty, it's the end of the fifth. Wait now, wait. Mayor Hoyer, who is on base? I'll answer for you. The bags are loaded. Gentlemen, the pants? No, I tell you. For the honor of both cities, we will call the thing a draw. We will keep the pants up, because you I couldn't stand to see with the pants off. That man is a nice, round, fat fella. And fellas, since you are already practically undressed, we have for each of you men, citizens, a Doughboy swimming pool that you can install in your own backyard. They're easy to inflate, and you're already inflated, pretty much. You just fill with a garden hose, and you're ready. Now, the mayors, for being such good sports to come up here, we want them to go out and really paint the town. Have a big time. We have for each of them a gallon of Foreman Ford paint, house paint. Goodbye, mayors. Goodbye, men. And thank you both. Goodbye. Pretty close call, huh, for those fellas? Say, Jack Linkletter, would you come back out here, please? I want you to do just one little job for me. Jack, I just gave away some of that Foreman Ford paint. You've been in town long enough to know about our sponsor. Why don't you do the commercial for us?
Okay. In just the short time we've been here, Dad, I've learned the Twin City folks are mighty proud of Foreman Ford and Company, because it's one of the fine progressive firms of the Northwest. The company dates back to 1883, when Foreman Ford was organized as the country's first distributor of glass west of the Mississippi. Today, Foreman Ford is one of the world's largest distributors of Libby Owens Ford thermopane and Kinnear storefronts, Insulux glass blocks, Matico tile, and Reynolds liquid aluminum, among the well-known brand names distributed by Foreman Ford. Plus hundreds of famous paint products manufactured by Foreman Ford and carrying the fine Foreman Ford brand names.